want to do that too often. But it was still a good time to take off. But I'm glad for everyone that made it in tonight. It looks like bride night, but maybe some of them will trickle in here a little bit. We're glad to have Brother and Sister Stafis with us, though. Thank God. Thank to have them here. Brother and Sister Thompson, Brother Thompson's mother had to go to the emergency room, and they're there at the emergency room with her. They don't have any report or anything right now. Anyway, I haven't had a report back from Brother Lionel Joseph's funeral, anything direct, but of course I'm sure most of you saw some of the posts on Facebook. There was probably 2,000 or 3,000 people at his funeral, and several of the brethren went, so I was glad for that. But anyway, it's just good to be in church tonight. Let's just pray, let's just worship the Lord and see what he has for us here tonight. Watch the Spirit. See what the Spirit of the Lord is going to say to the church tonight. Let me announce again the trip to the Dominican Republic is the 20th through the 25th. Sister Smith and I are going the 19th. We'll arrive over there on the 19th, so it's still... It's still early enough if anyone would want to go. And then there's some, I received some emails today that there are, there's some real special trips over there. I think there were some June dates through October. I have to look at it again, but I know one of them, I think, was some dates in June through October, which was as low as one of them was $499, included 5 nights in an all-inclusive resort there in La Romana. But the flight is out of Miami. You'd have to fly a round trip to Miami, that's an awful good deal. I may look into doing something like that for my return. I'll return sometime during that time, so may try to do something like that. I just thought I'd mention it. Then I want to mention the youth meeting in Wichita. I don't have the exact dates. Is it the last week in July? It's right in that time frame. If you get those dates for us, we sure want to support Wichita's youth meeting, because they're always here in great numbers to support us. July 25, 6, and 7. So that's the Wichita youth meeting. Of course, the campground, I think, is the 12th. Doesn't it start on the 12th of June? And 10th through the 14th. Starts Monday night, yes, on the 10th through the 14th. And then our meeting here in November, ministers' meeting, starts the 12th. I believe. It's on the books, but I am considering maybe having a start on Monday night and having a Monday night open service, and then just having Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday minister sessions. So if we used to start on Tuesday night and end it on Friday, and on Friday we'd have a mass exodus if we had an open service. You know, people trying to get back home for the weekend. A lot of them had a long way to drive. And so I'm considering, you know, Monday night, and most of them could get in here Monday, and enough of them to have an open service Monday night, and then Tuesday. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday, and close it on Thursday instead of Friday. So, but I just wanted to remind you of that meeting, and, you know, we'll certainly need everybody to be on board and ready to do your job. So, any other announcements that we need to make? Seemed like I told somebody to remind me to announce something. Who was that? The Louisville Youth Meeting. When does that start? July 11th, 12th, and 13th, and 14th at the Convention Center. So if any of you would like to go to that meeting and at the Convention Center, Youth Meeting, I think everyone that's went to those meetings have enjoyed it. They've been good meetings. They're a little bit different than our meetings, but they're good. Brother Painter? For our meeting? They must have changed it. There is some changes, by the way, that, and they didn't, I didn't get a list at El Dorado, but I know the Jacksonville Ministers Meeting for next year is changed to April from March. There were some changes. Also, I'm planning on adding a Dominican meeting probably in March of next year. So we may need to look on the Gospel of the Kingdom website. I would think they may have the update by now. If not, I'll try to get it for you. Anyway, come on, Brother Talley, let's have a band song. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and mercy. Look to you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Touch us tonight, Lord. Touch our faces. Thank you, Lord, for our songs. Oh, Jesus. Thank the names of His saints, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us sing, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Precious. Glory to God.
Oh. strength. He gives me power. He gives me hope in the darkest hour. He is my Jesus. He is my friend. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He gives me strength. He gives me power.
Announce that Brother Fitzsimmons, and Sister Fitzsimmons will be here this weekend with us. I think you'll really probably enjoy Brother Fitzsimmons. He's quite a Bible teacher. He and I have become good friends over the last several years. When the Convention Center brethren and us came together, they were quite a bit more starchy than we are. And they shook hands with each other, but they didn't hug. And so we were, before we all really came together, we were having several of the brethren were going to the church in Louisville on Stone Street, Brother Ross's, and meeting there, and they were at that time just sort of selecting who that they had heard about and knew something about, and you went by invitation at that time. But we were getting more and more close to just coming together, so we were there at Brother Ross's in a gathering, a minister's gathering, and one of the brethren said, he said, you know, brethren, we're not used to all this hugging. Of course, we just came in, shook their hand, and pulled them right up to us and hugged them, you know. But I think it was Brother Ross. He said, we're just not used to that. But he said, I'm kind of like it. He said, I'm kind of getting used to it. Well, Brother Fitzsimmons later, he talked. At some point, he got up and talked, and he said, Brother Ross said, you know, he mentioned this hugging that we're trying to get used to. And he said, I'm kind of getting used to it too. But he said, brother, that's where I stop, is at the hugging. And he said, I know there's scriptures on holy kiss, greeting one another with a holy kiss. But he said, brethren, I'm not going for no holy kisses. He said, just leave the kiss off with me. Well, the last day of that meeting, I came in, and it was an open service. And Brother Fitzsimmons was sitting next to Brother Ross. Everybody was just seating. And Brother Fitzsimmons called me over to his chair, and he said, Brother Ross wants you to sit here next to me. He said, he wants you to speak tonight. And I said, all right. We were all standing. About that time, the brethren, Brother Ross, I think, stood up, and everybody started shaking one another's hands. And I just grabbed Brother Fitzsimmons and give him a big old hug. And it almost make you believe in a personal devil. Something got in me, and I just reached over and kissed him on the cheek. And everybody in the house seen it and just died laughing. And, of course, he turned every color red. But that's kind of sparked our friendship. You know, he said, I can't believe you did that to me. And we didn't even know each other that well at the time. It just, something got in me, and I just went ahead and I just had to try it, you know. He shouldn't have said, don't do it. But anyway, we've been friends ever since. He's really a pretty spunky little fella. But he's really quite a Bible teacher, and he was in DuQuoin, Illinois for many years, and labored there hard. And if you ever go there and are in a regular service, I think some of our young people have been to their youth meeting. Came back with good reports, but Brother Fitzsimmons had a... I've been there for just a weekend with him, and we really had a good service, good move of the Spirit, just good things, and he's been wanting to come for a long time, and I think announced before that he was coming, and he hurt himself, his foot. He hurt his foot and couldn't, had to wait on that to heal up. And then we had meetings that hindered the dates, but he called. We set a date, a new date at the El Dorado meeting, and he called me today to confirm it. He said, if nothing happens, we're leaving out Friday morning. They're going to come Friday. I told him, I want you to come a few days and spend a few days with us. So when we went to do corn, he took us to Elko. We went down to Elko and Elko campground and saw all of that. And I was glad to get the history, because he does go all the way back to Brother Souders' day. He's in his early 80s, I believe, but he's still got quite a bit of spizzarinctum. And so I think you'll enjoy him. He's got a message on the tabernacle. I don't know if he'll talk on that while he's here, but I would like to hear it. I've heard, you know, that he's really got a good message, a teaching on the tabernacle, all of its different parts and what they all mean, and the details of the tabernacle. So I think we'll have a really good weekend with the Fitzsimmons here. You'll get to know them, and I'm sure you'll enjoy them, and you'll feel their good spirit. And so I'm looking forward to that, and just seeing what the Lord has. I appreciated these good songs Sister Bryant was leading us in. I'm just thankful to have a relationship with the Lord, aren't you? I'm glad this is, it's not just mechanics. It's not just, you know, rules and regulations, but there's a God in heaven. You can get to know him in a measure through his son. Knowing what all Jesus did when he came to this world and the purpose, why he came. He is the lover, let me tell you. God is, but his son also is the lover of your soul. My, you'd have to love souls to be willing to give up a place of elegance, a place of high, what, I don't even know if we can come up with a word to relate to what heaven must be like in the presence of God the Father. To be willing to give all that up, knowing that, you know, he had to know. He created all this. He watched it. He developed it. He worked with it for 4,000 years before he came. And he knew he was coming to come all the way down to just a seed. He never experienced it before, but he knew he was going to be just a man, a lowly man. He knew the scriptures that he, through the Spirit, had prophesied of himself. He knew that he was just going to be rejected. The scriptures, the prophecies went forth. He knew what his job was, yet he also knew that when he got here, he would have no knowledge of all of that. He'd give it all up, and he's putting it all on the line. I know you almost have to feel like he could have told the Father at any time, get me out of here. But you also know that wasn't in the plan. That couldn't be. He was a slain lamb before the foundation of the world. He loved the creation that God had him create. He's the father of creation. He's the chief, you know, father. I've referred to him here not too long ago as the grandpa. And in a way, I guess you could say that. But to these truths that God has gave us over the years has helped us to know more about God and know more about Jesus. And the more you know about Him and the more you understand and the more of His Spirit. I've got a sister-in-law that she really got the Holy Ghost through the influence of my ministry as a young minister. Her sister did too, and my younger brother, he got the Holy Ghost there and at home going to church with mother. I think he went to a youth camp where he got the Holy Ghost. But anyway, one day I was talking to her. She's really in, you know, people can get ingrained into doctrine and they can't open their mind. They can't hear. I was talking to a minister in this body this the other day that has went to taking literal communion every Sunday morning with his church. And he just absolutely was not open to hear anything different. And that troubles me, you know, because I don't want to see this body go back to something God's delivered us out of. I wonder what Jesus meant when he told one of the seven churches, he said, "I stand at the door and knock. And whosoever will open, I'll come in and sup with them, and or with you, and you with me." What kind of supping was that? What was he eating? What was Jesus talking about? Except when he said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood." My Lord, they didn't understand that. Many turned away from him because they couldn't hear it. They had ate the literal Passover for so many years. They thought their salvation was in that Passover, the feast, the literal feast. Many of them never really got the truth. I remember in the Dominican Republic when I taught on that, and those brothers, God opened those brothers' eyes. My Lord, I still can't settle them down on it. And when they hear somebody in this body doing it, they can't understand that. They think, "What is going on with y'all? We know what this means now. We understand that we're partakers of the same Spirit of God that Jesus came to give us. And we're eating His life. We're partakers of the life that He had in God, the good Word of God, the knowledge and understanding of salvation." I was trying to help my little sister-in-law. Just on the Godhead, she just couldn't open her mind. She said, "Brother Smith, you can't take the person of the Holy Ghost away from me." She said, "I have a relationship with Him." I said, "Yeah, you do, but you don't know who He is." I said, "If you'll open your mind, God will let you see. He'll let you see. That's God the Father Himself and His Spirit. His Spirit is the Holy Ghost." The angel told Mary, said, "That that's conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost." That'd make the Holy Ghost Jesus His Father if you really try to put it in a literal person. But it's easy. Once you see it in the Bible all the way through, it fits like a glove. Anywhere the Bible's talking about the Holy Ghost. And Jesus even said, you know, "He that blasphemes the Holy Ghost can't be forgiven." You can talk again, blaspheme the Son of God, but you can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. He was talking to Jews. this manifestation of God's Spirit. If y'all reject that, you can't get any for salvation. There is no salvation if you reject God. You can talk about me all you want to. You can do what you want to do. But if you reject God and His dealing, His reaching out to save you, you won't be saved in this one nor the world to come. If you reject Him, even though you're God's child, you'll get a resurrection of the unjust. But if you reject Him there, you still won't get any life. Oh, I'm telling you, saints, I'm so thankful today and tonight for the good truths that God's gave us to help us understand who we're serving. What this plan of salvation is all about. Jesus came down here and he had to live by faith. God, though, it was His Son. He was the only man since Adam that had ever put his foot on the terra firma of this earth. And that was born of God. And God had a responsibility to him. It was His Son. You got a responsibility to yours if you've got children. And God helped him. God sent angels to minister to him. God spoke to him out of heaven. He still had to live by faith. You know, he didn't talk to him every day. He didn't manifest himself. He didn't see him. But he developed in this flesh. He developed a relationship with the Father through the Spirit. He knew how to sup with God. He knew how to be a partaker of His Father through the Spirit. And He came that you and I could have that and be restored. And be in a covenant with God that would put us into everlasting life. Reconcile us back to God. And I'm so thankful tonight. You know, I still think we have a ways to go before we... Well, how did he say? If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. There's a certain amount of light you've got to have to really have true fellowship. See, my sister-in-law, and I love her. Her fellowship's not true. She's worshiping an ideal. She's worshiping something she's been taught. It's planted in her mind. She can't give it up. You know, when you start taking things away from people that part of their puzzle of understanding salvation, they think you're taking their salvation away from them. I found out you can lay every bit of it on the altar. God will give you every bit of it back. If you lay something down that, you know, if you lay something down that He wants you to have, He'll give it back to you. You can't. You know, if you're real sincere and you really want to know the truth, if you'll open your mind and your heart, God will give it to you. But it takes that. It takes wanting to know something about God and wanting God's truths more than just wanting, you know, to hold on to your ideas. And I understand it's scary sometimes. Even in here, it's scary to give up, you know, our... certain things we've been taught for a long time. There's adjustments God's going to have to make on us. We had to make a big adjustment for us and the brethren, all the divisions of this body. It's taken great adjustments for us to come back together, work together, and stay together. Remember Brother Fitzsimmons, the first time we went to another minister's meeting in this body. After we came together, he came up to me the second day outside before we started. He was hot. He said, I went to Jack Ross, and he said, Jack, what in the world have you got us into? He said, I would have left last night. If I could have left. But he said, I felt like, me and Jack both felt like the Lord talked to us last night and said, stay. And here's what God told him. And I believe him. Here's the way he said it to me. I'll tell you how I said it to him. He said, you brethren stay because you've got things those brethren need, but God added this, and they've got things you need. I said, he told me the same way, same thing, but he said for me to stay because we had things y'all need, but that y'all also had some things we need. You see how that works in your mind? If we was really humble enough. How did Paul say it in Galatians? If you have see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. If you're meek enough, you can let them be. You can put them up and let them feel good about what's going on and let them have their point of view and be meek about, you know, you're not going to help some people if you just attack them and you might find out you're wrong. I'm doing that. As I get older, I'm realizing that some of my ideas about people are need adjusted. They're radical. They're out of balance. And I'm trying to find that place in God where I can find something good, this brotherly love. It's the very earmark or the very foundation, the source of where charity really begins. Charity, you really don't get charity till you get in a restored church. It takes, to have the true love of God, it takes moving in a high place. To have God's love working in your life, for you to see things like God sees them, for you to love lost souls like He loves them, for you to love your brother and your enemy. Sometimes it's just hard for you to love your brother and your sister. But you're supposed to love even your enemies. Some of you may not love me too much, but I'm not your enemy. I'm not against any one of you. And you're not against me, I hope. If you are, I've still got to love you. So every once in a while, somebody reminds me of that. Somebody told me recently, said, you got to love me anyway. I said, all right, that's right. You're putting me in my place. I'm working on it. But brotherly love, to treat somebody like you'd want to be treated. Because Brother Watson used to say things to us like, how many people in here are wrong? He'd say, raise your hand if you're wrong. He'd get you to think, you know. Nobody thinks they're wrong. I mean, what kind of fool would say, I'm wrong, I'm doing wrong, I'm going to continue wrong. But you think you're right. You'll even twist things around to justify, think, you know, you're being right. Nobody likes to be even proved wrong. Even when you get down to somebody showing you you're wrong, sometimes it's hard to swallow it. And it's, you know, we're living in a different world. I'm having to learn as a preacher, all these guys are sitting up here right now. They're all got their smartphones out, and I hope they're paying attention to the sermon. They ain't playing on Facebook or, you know, tit-tat-toe or something like that. I hope they're staying with what we're doing. Just a couple hours, can you stay hooked up to the things of God for a couple hours? But what I mean to bring that up for, or the reason I brought it up is because when you say something, they're checking you out. They're checking on, they're looking it up, seeing if that's so. Brother Mark sent me a little note the other day. I made a statement about Brother Liniger. You know, I told Brother Liniger that they say that you only use 10% of your brain. You know, and I told Brother Liniger that. And he said, I'm sorry, Brother Smith, but I'm sorry. I use a whole lot more than 10% of mine. He says, as a matter of fact, sometimes I overload it. I catch it. I go beyond 100%. It almost goes into, it locks down on me sometimes. He said, I take it into overload. I got tickled at him. Brother Boyd looked that up, and he sent me a deal about that's a myth. that you only use 10% of your brain. Of course, I researched his research a little bit, and I did find out that the meaning behind it was is that we don't use the potential. We don't. But I will have to say this. I don't care what they say about biology and what they think they find out. Of course, I do think all parts of your brain you're using. I don't think there's any section up there that's just empty. You know, there's nothing working there. But the very fact you can learn more, the very fact that you can exercise in your brain and expand your, they've already proved you can even enlarge your, what is the word I'm looking for, your IQ. You know, there wasn't one point they didn't, nobody think you could change your IQ. You're just as dumb as you are, and you ain't going to get any smarter. You could say that another way. You're just as smart as you are, and you're not going to get any dumber. Or, you know, but you... Would that help you? Does that help some? But the point is, you can enlarge the capacity of your mentality. And I do feel like that there's the human brain is powerful, far more. And I even think that there's areas God don't even want us delving in. I used to work with a man that practiced moving objects with his mind. And this guy was a Holy Ghost guy. I told him, I said, you're messing with something you ought not be messing with. You know, he knew, he told me later, he said, man, I had to get out of that stuff. That was, he said, you know, that it moves into areas of witchcraft and sorcery and believing that you can do things that nobody else can do, that you've got powers nobody else has got. And I said, well, God put that in, even in the law of Moses, not to delve into those areas. I said, I would think that there, you know, there's something that even in the new earth that God will develop in us. There's powers, but it all works together, the environment and all, everything. If we ever get a balance in the environment, we won't be sick anymore. We won't have any sickness. There won't be any disease in this world. If you get a balance in your behavior. And so, I don't know what all God has for us, but anyway, I'm thankful for just the relationship that I have with the Lord. And from time to time, you ought to just pull away from just trying to gain more and more knowledge and just enjoy your relationship with Him. Just enjoy drinking up the wonderful Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. To think that God cares enough about you to let you feel His presence and to let you witness a manifestation of His Spirit. Sometimes I just love to see people get touched by God. I don't remember, who was it? Sister Curtis, Sister Crow. I've got bold enough the other night to just go get her and bring her up here to pray for her. I know a little bit about her that I know it'd do her good to feel God get a touch. And I could tell she was trying to hold back crying and brokenness. I told her, I said, let that go. Turn loose of that and let God bless you. We all need that. We all need that good, broken spirit. He's nigh. He said that I'm nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Sometimes you just need to break before God. Just have a good cry and let God touch you and just feel His presence and humble yourself before His touch. You can feel it's comforting. It does something for you. It works a humbleness, a brokenness, even more than if you give over to it. We all need to yield over to that from time to time and let the Spirit of God touch our lives. I think God cares enough about us that He'll let us feel Him, feel His presence, and then feel His Spirit touching our spirit. And even that we would be born of His Spirit. And when you yield over and that Holy Ghost nature inside of you connects with His nature, the presence of His nature touches that. My God, there's not a better feeling in the world. There's just not a better feeling. And every once in a while, I think every one of us ought to once in a while, somebody were to just not let a service go on any further without getting in a good Holy Ghost, connection with God. You say, we can't go any further. We need a good drenching of the Holy Ghost, a good rain of God's Spirit. Get beside yourself where you lose connection with what's going on around you. I don't say we ought to try to do that every service. You can get to where you put too much emphasis on that, but I don't think we're in danger of that right now. I mean, there has to be a balance. Jesus said the true worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It takes truth. It takes the truth and the understanding about God. I'll tell you, I came up in the Assemblies of God. I was baptized in water. I was just 8 years old when I was baptized in water in McAllister, Oklahoma, in the First Assembly of God Church on Miami Street. But then when I was 12 years old, under Brother J.B. Lenny in LaPorte, Texas, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost there. There was wonderful moves of the Spirit there. God was working in that. God's still working out here in these different churches and groups. He's still skipping on the hills and leaping on the mountains. He's still visiting His people. And He loves them. He still wants to save. And so, and I got something out there. I know I got the Holy Ghost. It wasn't make-believe Holy Ghost. This is a real, genuine Holy Ghost I got, Sister Crow. It's the same Holy Ghost I've got now. The truth I've received in the body of Christ has caused me to have a greater walk with God, a greater understanding of why I need the Holy Ghost. Thank God. You know, I didn't even know that it was absolutely pertinent for salvation. They quit teaching that out there. Brother, when I got in here and realized you must be born again, they taught me that when I repented, I was born again, that God accepted me and that I was born of His Spirit. And they went to preaching that the Holy Ghost was a prayer language and that, it wasn't essential, but it would help you. That's how they teach it out there a lot. When I realized the new birth, Jesus came. He died a lamb slain. And for you to be a partaker of Him, you've got to be born of His of the Spirit of God. You've got to be born of the same Spirit He was born of. You're born of Adam, but you have to be born of God. You have to be born again. And no man ever went to heaven until he was born in the new covenant that Jesus came to give you and I. When you realize that Passover feast represented being a partaker, receiving the Son of God in the new birth that He came to give you and I. And to partake of the truths that God gave him in the understanding of salvation, what God's plan of salvation is. and the overcoming life. Who else has got that message? I haven't found anybody else, Brother Tally. It's got a message of an overcoming life unto perfection. Sometimes I worry about this body. And some men are watering that down. I'll never accept that we already can make it, that we hadn't even got across Jordan yet. I can't help that. I'm listening. I'm asking God if there's anywhere we need to adjust this, but there's some things I think God has established among us that we've got to hold on to. There's got to be men that's strong enough to hold on to truths that's been established. We're not in a restored church yet, but we're coming up closer to Jordan all the time. And I'm not willing to put my tent stakes down on this side of Jordan, not for the body of Christ. There's a promised land. There's a place of rest. There's a rest in God where you can reach a place in God where you cease from your labors and you enter into His rest. The life of the Holy Ghost. You get close enough to God that you can walk in the Spirit. You can have the mind, the same mind that Jesus had, and He was connected to God through the truth of the Word of God. He found it in the old covenant, and the Holy Ghost revealed to him, and he understood who he believed in. And he understood what was required of him. He lived a life. Hallelujah. He lived a life to overcome the flesh, the Adamic nature, and all the lust thereof, and move into a place with God the Father that's higher than humanity, higher than the fallen condition of man, and restores you back to a garden place, a place in the garden that you can live above sin and have all that God has available. And transform you, your mind, your spirit in such a way that you won't want this life. You won't want the natural things in this life. I mean, you'll enjoy God's creation and all that there is, but you'll understand that the source, the life giver, is pure. It's sanctified. He wants to take us back to a hallowed place where He's going to put His name. Hallelujah. I know by faith we know this body. We're operating in His name as much as we know how, but to work under His authority. Work in the place that He would have us work in. He's the lover of your soul, saints. And He is the healer of your body. I'm still, every time I get an ailment or a catch or something wrong, I still am trusting and believing God that He's going to heal me. Or if He doesn't see fit, see, that's another thing out there. Out there, they won't hardly let you realize that God may not want to heal you of everything, not right now. He may want you to seek Him. He may not even put the sickness on you. Sometimes He does. Sometimes it just happens naturally. Sometimes God will let you go through a sickness, and if you'll take it right, it'll move you to a closer place in God. If you keep seeking God for Him to deliver you, I think everybody ought to realize it. If there's something wrong in your body, that's not God's will. God don't want you to suffer like that. That is, it's not His ultimate will, but He may let you go through things that you would seek Him through it. And I think He's still the great physician. He still just does natural healings. And sometimes it's amazing, you know. Here He raised up Sister Elsie again off of her deathbed, and He let Brother Lionel Joseph died. Now, you can't compute that and come up with why. See, you and I can't see that. But the psalmist wrote it down that, how does it say that? About the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. See, God knows something about you. You're his child. And if he sees that it's time to take you out of this life, because there's a resurrection that he wants to put you in, and you don't know what's going to happen there. We don't know nothing about that world or that happening. See, you just have to, somewhere you've got to say, God knows what he's doing. I mean, if he can make this whole universe tick in its microseconds just exactly in time, I just got an idea he can fix whatever's wrong with me if I'll just keep serving him. My God, that ought to make us so happy just to think, if I'll keep serving him, I'll keep trusting him, if I'll keep living for him, I'll make it. Hallelujah. The rest of the job is up to him. Hallelujah. I can't be lost if I'll serve him. Hallelujah. If I'll exercise faithfulness and obedience as much as I know how. I'll make it. You'll make it. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a great hope. Brother McGowan, he keeps telling me, when he first heard Brother Liniger start teaching the message on the resurrection, it touched him so deep. He said, I went home and sat down and went over the scriptures with Ann because she wasn't there when he taught on it. And he said, my God, honey, we got more hope than we thought we had. He keeps telling me that. How many of us he told you that? How many of y'all, raise your hand, Brother McGowan told you that. See, he can't stand that. He loves that because God quickened something to him. He got it. We've got more hope than we ever thought we had. Praise God. I used to worry about it. I used to go to bed and worry. If now I lay me down to sleep. If I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I thought, my God, there's a many night I laid there, Brother Daniels, and I thought, if he comes tonight, I'm a goner. I still said my now and lay me down to sleep. I thought, I'm going to try it. Just in case. If he'll let me go to heaven in this condition I'm laying down here in the bed in. He's quite a guy. I mean, I wasn't sure. But now I know. We sang that song every once in a while Brother Adams gave us. Now I know about the joy they had at early church. Hallelujah. My Lord, what a Savior. Now I know I'm his child. And if I'll serve him, he'll take care of me. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's precious. Jesus, he brought it to light so much that if a little sparrow fell down to the ground, it just don't happen, he said, unless God permits it. And how much more are you to God than a sparrow? My Lord. But he even watches over the sparrows. He's watching after that. He doesn't let just anything happen. He's watching over it all. Even the minute details. And here I'm one that he's let me be born again of his spirit. I'm his child. He'll follow me. He said this. Even to the end of the world. I may leave him, but he'll never leave me. He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Hallelujah. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You may forsake him. You may leave him. He's your father. He'll be there when you call on him. I proved it. More than one time. When I was a young man, a few times, not too many, but a few times, it really seemed like years. I was only out of church just a short period of time, but when I think about what all I've done, it must have been a long time that I've done all that. But did you know I could get to a place where I was hungry for God again, and I lost my way. And I could just get alone, and I could just look up, and I'd say, God, I just start talking to Him. When Sister Smith was laying on her deathbed, weighed 53 pounds, the doctors gave her no hope. I was backslid as I could be. And the night before they did surgery on her, my mama tried to talk to me. She tried to tell me, son, why don't you talk to God? Don't you know God can heal her? I said, Mother, she's going to die. Don't start talking to me about all that. I don't want a bunch of false hope. She's going to die. The doctors already told me she's going to die. She said, son, what's happened to you? What's happened to you? Don't you know there's a God in heaven that can bypass everything man says? She gave me a talking to. I didn't open my mind to it right then, but I got in my car to go back home to that lonely apartment that night. And I turned out of Mom and Dad's lane down Mogford Road and hit 281 north to go back to town. And when I made that turn on 281, I just looked up through my windshield. I said, God, would you help me? I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost come in that car, just filled it up. Just like that, I was just a no good, backslid child of God. But just like that, He came in. And I started speaking in tongues. I don't know how long it had been since I spoke in tongues. I pulled over in the ditch. Right there, I said, God, if you'll save her, I'll serve you. I had a Holy Ghost fit right there in that bar ditch. I finally got myself together and got my eyes all wiped out and got headed back down the road. I can tell you about a time before that when I was younger and wasn't even married. You know, I was just walking down an old dirt road and I looked up there and I said, God, my life's already in a mess and I'm just a kid. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost hit me and I was down in the dirt just a few minutes. The Holy Ghost had me wallowing around and praying and having a time. And God, I mean, just like that, here, I didn't even know all these truths. I didn't know much about God. I just had the Holy Ghost. And I'd been raised up as, you know, Pentecostal churches, but I still didn't know. It hadn't all clicked with me yet. But I'm telling you, He was my Father. I left Him, but He didn't leave me. He was right there on the spot when I needed Him. Reminds me of the prodigal son when his father looked up. I know it's just a parable, but boy, Jesus drew a picture, didn't He? He said the father looked up and down the end of the road, there was that boy. He didn't say, well, let's just see if he gets on. Let's see if he comes on up here. Rather that, he said the father just took off running. Said, my son, come home, hallelujah. Told his other son, said, make a banquet. Get things ready. Said, we're fixing to have a good time. We're fixing to celebrate. What a God. What a God. This boy was down in a... He was down in a hog pen eating slop. His father didn't worry about it. I told you so and all of that. He just said, get the ring of sonship. Kill a fatted calf. Let's celebrate. Hallelujah. My son has come home. I know he's talking about Israel. I understand all that. I'm still telling you though, Jesus just showed a picture. He just said, that's how God loves you. That's how He loves this nation. That's how He loves every individual in it that's in this covenant. Woo! Let's serve Him, saints. Let me get out of here so Brother Stephas can say some whatever's on his heart. But I'm telling you, hallelujah, we're serving a great Savior tonight. He knows where you're at. He loves you. And we've got to get this brotherly love down so we can really, I mean, you have to practice charity in it. Love your brother like you'd want them to love you. You understand yourself. You understand why you do all the things you've done. You can, you know, some of it's even justified. Some of our shortcomings. Because we fail in areas. I'm telling you, let me tell you, God wants you to be just like He is. He wants you to love your brother and sister just like He loves them. He wants you to be with them, love them, reach out to them, even to the end of the world. I know sometimes that seems hard. Oh, God, I know there's tough love, but I think we practice it a little bit too much. I think we need to work on brotherly love, filial love, so that we can finally have agape love. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let's receive an offering since we didn't have church this weekend, and get that out of the way. And if the brethren would come, let's have prayer. I know some of you have got Sister Elsie. She must not could have made it, but she was planning on being here tonight. She had told the girl, she said, "I'm going to church tonight." She was having a good day and wanted to be here. Brother Dave did? Oh, wonder if it's Dave or Al's car. Anybody know? Al's, because they went home in Al's car, and Gail went later. Oh, they weren't hurt, though. All right, that's probably why they're not here. And I know Sister Elsie, they was even planning on her being here. Brother Fleming? Brother Mansfield's wife. All right. What else? Sister Smith's been in the bed all day with a real bad sick headache, so pray for her. Brother and Sister Thompson, I mentioned Brother Thompson's mother. Let's remember her in prayer. What else am I missing? Sister Karen. All right. Brother Painter. Yes, Brother David Angelo. Still fighting the battle with cancer. You know, they don't really expect him to live, but God. Wouldn't you like to see God heal Brother Angelo? Just defy all the odds. Let's keep asking God to do that for him. You and I could be in his shoes tonight. We could be, you know, all of what you're worried about could just pass by if you just knew you're fighting with a deadly cancer that was trying to take you out of this world in a short period of time. Let's call out to God for him. Keep calling out to him. Sister Durham. One of your co-workers, Roslyn. All right, let's remember that. Sister Abraham. All right, remember that, Sister Linda. All right. Brother Dodson. Did he get his car back? He did. Finally got it. All right. Good. All right. Sister York. All right. What's her name again? Lula May. Is that right? All right. Pray for Brother Doug and Sister Yvonne York. They're missing us, but, you know, she's trying to work with her brother there, and he's already failing more. Yes, Brother McGowan's not here tonight. I'm sure Oh, he's out of town. Yes, he and Holly. Pray for Holly. Yes. All right. All right. Brother Don Hollingsworth, remember him. I called and asked for prayer. Yes. Brother Beck. All right. How old is Brother Beck now? 85. He's still preaching, though, isn't he? When he gets in the spirit, huh? He's about a best manifestation of an evangelist that you'll see. You know, Brother Beck, he don't have to be on his feet just a few minutes, and he's evangelizing. He's talking about how great God is. I can't even hold him a candle. he can electrify a whole group of people in just a few minutes. He's got that gift. What's the young brother that Brother Clark, the pastor there now in Olathe from Oklahoma City, Brother and Sister Clark. So pray for the Olathe Church. It's always a transition to go through. Y'all know that. To go through a change of pastors. So it's just a transition. All right, if the brethren would come, we'd have a song, we'll receive the offering. Praise God. Brother Fitzsimmons, I'll get him to teach the Bible study Sunday morning. So try to get here for Bible study. He did mention to me that he might talk on the tabernacle. I said, you can't just finish that in a Bible study, can you? He said, oh, it actually takes several days to teach the whole thing. I said, well, you can start down there and just bring it upstairs. That'd be all right with us. Let's all stand and pray. Ask God to meet these needs here tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior. Lord, you're the healer of our body. You're the lover of our soul tonight. God, you're our great physician. You're our shield and our buckler. You're our help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Oh, God, our trust and our faith is in you. Help us, oh God, to serve you, to be more faithful and obedient. Walk closer to you, to get to know you in a greater way. Oh, God, let us sup with you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, meet these needs. Touch Brother Angelo tonight in Tyler, Texas. God, raise him up. Heal him completely of this cancerous disease. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Meet these needs that we just lift them up before you here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Amen, amen. All right, God bless you as you give tonight.
to my brother Smith stopped. I don't have much, but I was enjoying what you were saying and thinking about how that Jesus, when he was reduced down to a seed and he had to lose all the knowledge that he had of who he was. And then as he began to read the scriptures and to have that revealed to him by his, he had to be in the right place for God to be able to reveal who he was. If somebody come up and say, God told me I was the Son of God, I'd think he's crazy. You know, and I'm sure that he might have thought something like that, but when he was 12 years old, he came into the temple and they lost him, and we all know the story, but how that he was found in the temple teaching, and they were all amazed at what he knew at that age. And for him to say that, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? But then it says that he went back with his parents and became subject unto them. Even though he knew who he was, he knew what he was going to do, but he went back and become subject to them. And that tells me as how that we need to change the way that we think. See, we sang a song here that that he's my rock, you know, and he's a rock to us, but he was a stumbling stone to Israel because they didn't see who they were looking for someone else. They wanted the Messiah to come and do something different than what he did. And for him to really have that mindset, I thought it says that be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to change, as God says it. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, but we are to be like him. And the only way that I know that I can be like him is I have to change the way that I think. And really, to be transformed, there's transformers out here along the road that come. They're called step-down transformers. They take a lot of power and they step it down so that you can use it. But you know, they also make transformers that step up the power. See? And I want to take in your house you got a single phase line coming in. But you can get a transformer that steps it up to three phase. See? And you get three phase, well, a single phase, you're gonna just run a 5-horse motor maybe. But three phase, you're going to have a 50-horse motor or a 60-horse motor. You're going to have more power. And that's what I need. I want to change the way that I see things so I don't miss him. I don't want to miss him, but I want to have more power in my life. And the only way I know is to change the way that I think, the way that I look at things. I don't have everything. I don't know everything. But I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at. From the very beginning, God opened my eyes and told me where I was at. When I come out of the world, I didn't know nothing. I didn't even know if there was a God. But when I left that place, I knew there was a God. And I knew, and I didn't know that I was in such a place that God sent me in this little bitty stone building. But there was power there that I'd never seen, didn't know anything about. And then I thought, well, maybe it was just there. But, you know, it wasn't but a couple months after I come in, they had a meeting down in Fort Worth, Texas. And I went down there, and I remember setting in for the breakfast. We were praying for our food, and I felt this spirit such strength and such power. And I said, well, it's not only in Kansas City, it's here too. It's bigger than I thought. But I went down there and it changed my life. I got committed to this. I wanted to have more of this. I would set up and at night and I'd read my Bible. Didn't know anything, you know, but I'd still read it. I mean, you know, before I come in, the Lord was dealing with me, and before I came to church, I was reading the New Testament, and I'd get to the end, and I'd start crying. I'm a 23-year-old man sitting in an apartment doing something like that. I thought I was going crazy, but I'd read that, and I'd say, okay, well, here, that's Matthew. I'm going to start reading Mark. Maybe it's different. Maybe Christ doesn't have to go to the cross. That's about how much I knew. And read that and think that it was different or would be different. And so I really do appreciate being able to come here and feel, Brother Smith, I was enjoying what you were saying. I want to be different. I want to look at things in the right way. Because that's the only way that I'm ever going to see if I change the way that I look. Because Israel, they didn't change. There was just a few that changed. Most of them, they lost out. They didn't see that the Messiah was supposed to come in the way that they thought David was going to come and take care of Rome. You know, he's going to come on a white horse and do battle. But he did do battle, but different than they were looking for, and that's how they missed him. And I don't want to miss him tonight. I really appreciate my children have a place to come like this, that they can come and hear these things. Because that's what is most important. I mean, you know, the Lord is important. He's the most important, but my children are important too. See? I want them to make it. I want them to have a chance to have life. This thing is a great thing, and I really, truly appreciate being here tonight and feeling the spirit that I feel here. Hallelujah.
To thank you for
I got to talk. So, wonder before we go home if I could get just a few of the brethren to meet Brother Brett down here and do the yard Saturday. We're going to try to work this out where we won't, you know, have the same brethren doing it all the time right now, but it'll really look bad if we don't do it. So I just wonder if there's just a handful of brethren that could say, I'll come and help. Just the hedges are all right. We just need to weed eat and mow the grass. Let me get some of the brethren, Brother Daniels, Brother Mark, Brother Matthew, Brother Painter, Brother Brett, and Brother Zach. That ought to be enough, hadn't it? That'll be y'all knock it out in just an hour, hour and a half, something like that. And we'll try to get a schedule worked out. I think if we could just have, you know, you wouldn't have to do it very often if we worked a schedule out. So we'll work on that maybe right away, try to get something worked out on it. All right. Let's give him a praise before we go home. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God, for your goodness. Hallelujah. For your spirit, oh God, your touch on our lives. Hallelujah. Your sweet people, oh God. We love them, Lord. Oh God, help us to love one another in a greater way. All right, shake hands and be friendly. I'll see you Sunday morning at Bible study.